It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 308, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I talk about the big win over Utah. Does this change their chances at dancing in March? We also talk about the hiring of Jeff Grimes as the offensive coordinator at BYU, and what we think that might change for the 2018 season. And we, of course, talk about a lot of bowl games and preview the college football playoff. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Get this show and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us talk about, well, all things BYU sports right now. Matt, is the Force with you?
Oh, the Force is with me. I am one with the Force, and the Force is one with me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, you and I both saw a movie on opening weekend.
Yeah, I did. That's kind of, once, you know, is a, what do they call it, a coincidence?
Twice is a what?
Another coincidence, and three times is a try.
Three times is a what?
I thought three times was a trend.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know if that's true statistically. But Matt, we have a few tweet bag questions. We'll start off right out of the tweet bag with some Star Wars questions.
Tweet bag.
And first one is from a good old friend, Justin Sweeney, at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter.
Sweeney.
Can you please denounce all the overreaction regarding The Last Jedi? People are spoiling the movie without spoilers. He has a sad face. Emoji, hashtag tweet bag. Matt, I believe he's talking about Andre Hutchins. Sorry, Andre.
But
a lot of the negativity is from Andre. Almost all of the internet negativity. I'm totally kidding, by the way. Not that he didn't like the movie, but that there's a lot of negativity to go around.
Well, listen, but if you see the movie after me, like, can you really worry about spoilers?
We are not going to discuss any details of the plot today, but Randy Whittle on Facebook wants us to rank the last three Star Wars movies, Last Jedi, Rogue One, and The Force Awakens, in order of preference. So just the last three. Matt, do you need time to think? Because I've already thought about this.
I'm ready. I'm going to let you go first, though, because I'm magnanimous.
That's not true. I'm magnanimous.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah, I just know you say it all the time whenever you make me go first.
That's right. So I would say Rogue One, The Last Jedi, The Force Awakens, in that order.
Interesting, because I'm Rogue One, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and I really liked The Last Jedi.
I liked all three of these movies, so this is not a disservice or a rank down on any of those movies.
As you remember, I came out of Rogue One like interested in Star Wars lore.
Yes,
I was like going and buying books and things. I mean, Rogue One was a real turning point for me in Star Wars.
Well, Rogue One is cool in a way because it's the only Star Wars movie, and I guess when the Han Solo movie comes out next year, that may also be true, that isn't about Jedi. I mean, there's connection, right? Obviously, you have they're at the Jedi and all that stuff, but there's no main character who's a Jedi, right? So it's cool. It's cool. Matt, Randy also asks, where would you put The Last Jedi on the 0 to Detmer scale?
I really liked it. I'm tempted to give it a Detmer.
It seems too high for me, but I might give it a Steve Sarkisian.
See, I think you put more thought into these Star Wars movies than I do.
I put a lot of thought.
I go and enjoy most them like a thought. Child.
I put most of my thought on Star Wars movies.
I just go in and enjoy them. I was like all pumped up coming out of the theater.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
So my son and I, what we did is we watched The Force Awakens. We literally finished Force Awakens, turned off the TV, got in the car, and drove to the theater.
That's the way to do it.
And saw The Last Jedi. It was very well timed.
That's what we call grade A parenting, Matt. Grade A.
I'm doing the best I can. Doing the best I can.
I will tell you this. The only thing I will say is the Han Solo zombie scene really freaked me out. that's the one where I thought they just had kind of gone over the top. I could have done without
it. It was like Yeah, well, I think that there, I think that that was really just an editing mistake. I think that was actually a scene from Walking Dead. I think you're just getting confused.
Yeah, it's possible.
Actually, I think you're just dreaming this up in your head completely.
It's possible. Matt, let's go now to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, out of the, let's start with the NFL. With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, Goodell.
I don't even know what the voice is anymore that I'm doing for Goodell.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we need to refresh the NFL Cougars and the pros.
I agree. So we'll do something.
It needs a refresh.
We'll do something in 2 weeks. We're off next week. Merry Christmas, everybody. But we'll do. I'll do something differently in 2 weeks. Matt, Jamal did not have a good game with Aaron Rodgers.
That's disappointing, right?
Not as disappointing for the Packers as losing after getting Aaron Rodgers back.
And being mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Good news for Jamal is that Aaron Rodgers has now been placed on the IR for the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, that was kind of a given after they lost, right?
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, I don't know if he got hurt more. I mean, McCarthy said he was sore and whatever else. But
yeah, but what's the point, right? I mean, let the thing heal because you're not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately for Jamal, we had special teams tackles for Kai Nakua and Taysom Hill. So
and a spotting of Taysom Hill returning punts in warmups.
Yeah, much ado about nothing.
Is that real?
It was a real video. I don't know if it means anything. The other part to me is, do you think with him playing on special teams, doesn't that mean he's not their QB of the future?
I don't know. I don't know what it means.
It means he's not their QB of the future. That's what it means.
I think they're trying to figure out a way to get him on the field, though.
Yes, I totally agree because he's that good of an athlete. Ziggy, after his great game last week, was banged up and I think had one tackle. Cal Vannoy was out again, and hopefully we'll be back next week for the Patriots. But I don't know about anybody else, but the end of that Patriots game was phenomenal. I know
it was
probably
awesome.
We probably have people like cussing at me right now because they hate the Patriots, but. Don't hate the playa, just hate the game, all right?
Wow, you even said it like playa. All sorts of podcast listeners calling you a flipping fetcher right now.
That's right, you flipping.
They're just like
fetching.
You fetchers.
Yeah. You.
You.
And Kyle Collinsworth, after having some good weeks playing in the minors, if you will, signs with the Dallas Mavericks. So, good luck to you, Kyle Collinsworth. Hopefully we'll be seeing some NBA triple-doubles soon.
That would be awesome.
Okay, that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But anyway, he did sign with them to a two-way contract, which I don't actually know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask you. I don't know what that means. I saw that on Twitter, and I thought, is this a typo?
Is that the...
it's not a two-day contract. What is this? What does this mean?
I don't know. Is it like a 10-day contract? Is that like the new thing for a 10-day contract?
But why would they call it a two-way contract? We're signing you in and out?
I don't know. So one of our listeners, I'm sure, will be able to enlighten us.
Well, listen, I think probably the way I would explain it, like if you were to ask me to explain how this works, I would say it's basically this is how it works. In the new collective bargaining agreement, the league has introduced two new roster slots where teams can sign players to a, quote, two-way contract, which allows them to spend a finite amount of time with their respective NBA team and the rest of their season with a G League affiliate.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Mr. Wikipedia.
Well, a couple of agents I spoke to at... stupid ads.
All right. We get the point.
Anyway, so, you get the idea. So it sounds like it puts him in a place where he can play G League and then practice with the Mavericks when they want him there.
That's right, and potentially move up. So Anyway, all right, so cool. That's Cougars in the news. Matt, last week we talked about a rivalry, and guess what? The rivalry is back and better than ever.
Yeah, it is.
Because the freaking Cougars beat Utah.
I'd like to thank he who shall not be named giving us the rivalry back.
We'll get to his naming here in a second. Okay.
I think there was a
By the way, We'll get to this in a second. I'm not gonna spoil it. So Matt, let's talk about that box score first, because we do this. We love talking about box scores. And you look at the BYU box score here, and you look at it and you say, okay, Elijah Bryant was a monster. 29-9-4, 3 steals, only 2 turnovers, hit 8 free throws, 5 of 7 from behind the arc. Okay. Obviously, Childs had another big game, 15-5 and 3 blocks. And after that, you know, they were really the offense. It was then spread out fairly evenly. You know, Dastrup had a nice second half. McKay Cannon, who we talked about, you know, being all that or whatever, he's just looking solid, right? Like, both box score and when you watch the game, he's just being solid, right?
Yeah.
So let's get to some Tweetbag questions regarding this game, Matt.
Tweetbag.
So, Matt, first Tweetbag question regarding the basketball game comes from Gary Payne at FastBreakGP on Twitter. And, Matt, if you want to participate in the Tweetbag, you can do so in 3 ways. Way number one.
But what do we call participating in the Tweetbag, Adam?
We call it Tweetbagging.
There's another term for it.
Nope. No, there's not.
What do we call it?
We don't call it anything else.
Say it.
That's all we call it. That's the only thing we call it.
Something else we call it.
Hashtag Tweetbag.
Nope. There's something else we call it, and it is caught fire with the listeners.
Hashtag Matt annoys me.
You are embarrassing yourself.
Hashtag Matt is embarrassing himself. Hashtag you just say it. Why are you being such a...
Climb on in!
All right, there you go. You said it. Great. Your lame idea caught on. Yay
it's a
for
thing
you.
Now. It's a thing now.
Hashtag Matt has a lame idea now. All right.
Oh, I'm happy with just hashtag climb on in.
All right. Hashtag climb on in. All right. So, Gary... three ways you can climb on in the tweet bag. You can do it via Twitter... at BYU_RiseShout, Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and good old-fashioned email, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. One word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. So Gary did it on Twitter. He says, on hoop, satisfaction level on the Utah win, 0 to Jimmer. Is there beyond Jimmer? No, there isn't a beyond Jimmer. That's how the scale works.
Then Jimmer!
I'm Jimmer. Yeah, I'm with you.
Is Jimmer. That's the coolest thing in BYU sports in at least a year.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, since the Gonzaga win.
It's up there.
Because that's a Jimmer level win, beating the best team in the
league. That's a Jimmer level win, beating Gonzaga. Absolutely it is.
So definitely since then. Football did not give us any Jimmer level feelings this year.
Nope.
So he asks us to put Bryant's performance on that same scale. I'm going to give it like a Kyle Collinsworth level performance.
I was going to go with Kyle Collinsworth, and then you took the good example from me.
Well,
I'm going to say, what do I say, Jackson Emery then? Just somewhere in that range.
Yeah. I think, Bryant was amazing. We're going to get to him here in a minute and talk more about the season so far. Matt, we got a question from Randy Bluth. He asked a bunch of questions on football and basketball, but I'm going to pull one off of him from basketball. Is bench scoring this year versus last year? Okay. Matt, I'm looking at the stats right in front of me from last year and this year. It doesn't have bench broken out, but I'm kind of doing the math in my head. And it seems fairly similar to me. I think right now we're really a three-headed team as far as scoring goes, right? And it's Childs, Hawes, and Bryant, right? And everybody else will have nights. McKay Cannon off the bench, Nixon, obviously Dastrup had that big night against Utah as well with some good second half scoring. So I'm confident that some of those guys can come in and score, but this offense really goes around those three first folks that I mentioned.
Yeah, but when I think about the point of, you know, that I think Randy's making here, right, is that I think we all saw the dash trip example against Utah is the example, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, we had started to get a little bit stagnant at that point in the game. Maybe we just needed some fresh legs. And here comes a guy and he's just, you know, launching bombs and is able to, you know, give people a rest and provide a spark off the bench and at some key moments in a big game. You know, and that's, you know, so I think there's definitely a feeling that you're getting more out of your bench than you were. It might not, I don't know if it plays out in the stats. It sounds like maybe not, but I definitely, you know, you definitely feel that watching this team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because the roles, and I think part of it also is that the roles are getting solidified early, and we've talked about that. You know, you kind of see who the three big players are on this team, and we feel like, you know, if I were to ask you who's going to start, who are going to be the starting five in a game 6-8 weeks from now, you'd probably get it right.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, at this point in the season, that all has felt very much still up in the air. But as we've been able to get some defined roles around the team earlier in the season, a lot of that stuff is going to feel different.
Well, and with the injuries to Nixon and Andrus, he's playing 8 guys. I think if both of those guys come back, we could see them playing 10, right? 9 or 10 at a night and splitting up some of those big man minutes. And of course, spelling Childs you know, if it's a blowout, that kind of thing. And maybe just mix it up depending on the team. I mean, for example, when we play St. Mary's, I think, you know, we've been able to avoid foul trouble from our big men so far. I don't know if that's going to work when you're playing Jock Lawndale, right? Like, you're going to have to use some fouls on that guy.
Right.
And right now we have 3 healthy big men, right? Dastrup, Childs, and Worthington. So, you know, you're a little bit limited. But I agree with you. I think you make some excellent points. Matt, Randy asks about Bill Walton, but we got another question that I'm going to piggyback here. That's from Tim Jacobson out of an email. He says, first up, he asked 2 questions. During the first 5 minutes of BYU Utah, he said, I was thinking Roxy Bernstein was there to babysit Bill Walton. I don't think that's actually not correct, Tim. He seemed like he was in something, but I think I was wrong. Do you agree? I think he means on something.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bill is likely on something. Do you agree that Bill was just on a different level of consciousness than the rest of us?
I think that didn't we just say the same thing twice?
Yeah, we may never fully understand what we just experienced. He was
true.
The icing on the rivalry victory cake. And he says, fun fact, he has been trick-or-treating with Roxy and his family. Super nice guy, Tim. I don't even know what to do with that one.
This is the craziest.
It's one of the best tweet bag questions we've ever received on many
Bill
levels.
Bill Walton lends himself to some crazy tweet bag questions.
Yes.
But to be able to take your tweet bag question about Bill Walton and then throw in something some completely random factoid, such as that you've been trick-or-treating with Roxy and his family at the end.
Yeah, it's
like
fantastic.
That, you just Bill Walton's Bill Walton.
Yeah, nice job. Nice job, Tim.
I just needed a cougar growl at the end of that.
See, here's the thing. I enjoy listening to Bill Walton. I think, I don't know if I'd want to listen to him call every game. Like, say he was the play-by-play man for your local team, right? I think that would get old. But I like listening to him a few times a year because he says crazy outlandish stuff. And, you know, there's stuff online of just the highlights of the Utah-BYU game. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, he's a little bit crazy, right? But what I can't stand is the split BYU-Utah hat.
Oh, that's terrible. I hate that.
The making Keep Provo Awkward t-shirt, I actually kind of laughed at.
But the
split hat stuff, I can't stand that stuff. And then every time he was turning to the side, it looked like he was wearing a Utah hat. And I was like, oh, he's a loser. No, he's okay. He's a loser. No, he's okay.
No, it's all right. So
you know, I don't know what to do with it.
Tim's second question was, do you also agree? He's assuming we agreed on his first point, which, by the way, you contradicted yourself, Tim, in that first question.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm agreeing with. Do I also agree with what?
That's,
I agree. I'll never understand what we just experienced.
Yeah, I get that. He says, that we shouldn't be too excited after beating Utah. After all, they're just a low-tier member of the Pac-12. It's not like we beat a good team like UCLA. Hashtag Ute tears. Well played, Tim.
That's a plant. That question's a total plant.
Yeah, that is just purely a taunt to any Ute fan that might be listening, which, by the way, I don't know that we have any.
No one has ever called us out on that, right? We've never received feedback.
There was one like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Where one guy said, I listened to like 10 minutes of your podcast.
Remember this.
Remember that?
Yes.
He's like, you guys are terrible and you're homers. But it's a freaking BYU fan podcast.
Yeah, what did you think you were coming here to get? Like, we're here to discuss like international politics?
Yeah, which we could.
Sometimes we try to avoid politics, generally.
We avoid all politics. Thanks, Tim, for your question. Let's get to this. What the victory means, Matt? Our RPI moved up a ton. All the computer rankings moved up a ton. This is the best win we have all year, and it was our last chance, as we said last week, at a quality out of conference win, Matt. I know Tim's question was tongue-in-cheek. This is a big deal. Like, yes, it would be better if we beat a team that's a top 20 team as opposed to a top, 60, 65 team. But this is a big deal and puts something on our resume that might, at the end of the year, help us figure our way into the tournament. I'm not saying we're going to get there. It's a long road to go, and we need to not drop some should-be wins in conference.
And you got to split one of the big games. But this could turn out to be one of your marquee wins.
Matt, I think we're as good as St. Mary's. There's two parts to that. I think we're better than we thought we were going to be, right? And the computers all had us as a, 75th, and right now they have us at, 59, right?
Wow, crank up the hype train. Crank it up, everybody.
Now, St. Mary's, on the flip side, everybody had them as, a top 30 team. They're not playing like a top 30 team. So today, on paper, we're similar quality to each other, us and St. Mary's. Some people may disagree, but I think the results would support that so far. Now, obviously, Gonzaga is still Gonzaga, right? They're still head and shoulders above the rest of the conference. But Matt, I feel way better today about getting into the tournament than I did a week ago. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I feel better about, we talked a lot about the likelihood that this team drops one of those games you shouldn't lose in conference. I feel a lot better about our ability to avoid that fate.
Yep.
Which moves us into the space of what do you do, like you talked about, against Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Can you at least split those? Or can you win two out of those four?
Yeah.
If you know, in whatever combination. Four.
Yeah,
you win two out of those four with where we're at right now, and you take care of things in conference, you could be talking turning birth.
You could. Right now, I don't know if the West Coast Conference, based on the overall quality of the conference, is a three-bid league. Quite frankly, this could be a one-bid league. If yep. St. Mary's and us both drop some games we shouldn't in conference, and Gonzaga wins the tournament, the conference tournament, this could be a one-bid league this year. I thought for sure it'd be a two-bid because I just assumed. And again, St. Mary's may turn around and split with Gonzaga and run through the conference, right? And then that changes the narrative that I'm saying. But anyway, you make good points today. Look at you making good points.
I try.
So we need to set something straight. Johnny Ashton on Facebook has this to say. On a scale of zero of, he says one to Jemmer, but we usually say zero to Jemmer. How do you rate the article that was on LoyalCougars.com about the Grinch and comparing, instead of Voldemort or He Who Shall Not Be Named, the author, and I'm looking it up, Greg Welch, that's right, does a very nice poem, I read this, that's basically the Grinch, okay? And it ends with the best line of the poem, well done, Greg, is, and he himself, the Grinch, deserves to lose because he sucks. and the full line is, he brought back the rivalry, he paid $80,000, and he himself, the Grinch, deserves to lose because he sucks. So he's basically we're basically getting asked, isn't this a better nickname for He Who Shall Not Be Named? The answer is, Matt, no.
Yeah, I'm a no on this
one.
I'm a hard
no. The Grinch turns around and becomes a good guy at the end.
Everybody loves the Grinch, really. I mean, who's got Grinch memorabilia in their home?
I have a ornament on my tree.
You've got an ornament, you got a book, you got a little stuffed Grinch, you got a something.
Do right? I have a Voldemort on my tree?
You got a neighbor dressed up as the Grinch who sleeps on your lawn. I mean, whatever it is. Am I the only person who has that?
I'm the only person with that last one. I think that's only a Louisiana thing.
I thought that was pretty normal.
No.
But, you know, I don't want any of those things.
That being said, Greg's poem, highly recommended, and it's very funny. I enjoyed reading it, and well done to Greg at Loyal Cougars. So well done, you know, there. I still think He Who Shall Not Be Named is a better name.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So, but that's we're also you know trying to perpetuate our own.
Never seen a Harry Potter movie, so I don't know that I'm really qualified to choose between the two here.
You're not. Okay, Sweeney had another question for us.
Sweeney,
any word on Yoli's injury? Looked like cramps, but slow-mo replay showed he kind of tweaked his ankle before the fall. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag manchilds. I don't have anything, man.
Is it Yoli's flu game?
Is this Yoli's flu game?
Is that what this is?
Maybe. Because when did he get hurt? When did he? What? I can't remember the minutes.
He left and then he came back and then the cramps came back and he was trying to shoot some free throws. It looked like cramps to me. I did see the replay that that Sweeney's talking about here, but the way he was grabbing at his calf. And it looked to me like he was trying to get rid of a cramps in his legs.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know anything more than that. Related to the Childs thing, Jared Roundsville, that's at J Roundsville on Twitter, says, "Who's more valuable to the basketball team, Childs or Bryant? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag go Cougs." Notice no hashtag climb on in so far.
It's disappointing. That is not true. That is actually false. Because we received Randy Bluth's tweetbag questions via text, and it included "climb on in."
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
I think I shared that with you.
Nope.
Believe I took a screenshot.
Nope.
And sent it to you.
Nope.
So you did see it.
Nope.
You
didn't see it. Didn't
are a liar. You're gonna lie in front of. You're gonna lie in front of all of our podcast listeners.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Nope.
So I don't know why it's going to bother me today.
And you're not done. And you're not done going down the questions on the agenda.
That's why I said it now. Don't you think I did that strategically? I just forgot about that Randy had it in his.
Well, and there's another one coming.
That's why I did it now. I've done this like 2 weeks in a row, by the way. So you're finally picking up on it.
It's really creepy when you whisper.
The answer is this. According to advanced statistics, it's not even close. Bryant is way more valuable. Matt, advanced statistics aren't the end-all be-all, though. Who do you think is more valuable, Yoli Childs or Elijah Bryant to this team?
Oh, it's Elijah Bryant.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think most fans just on the eye test are going to tell you that.
Yeah. And this is – now, here's the thing, though. Those are the two players you can't afford to lose.
You can't afford to lose either of them to injury.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're splitting hairs a little bit here because Childs does a lot of things that Bryant can't do, like defensively in the post, guarding the best big man in some cases, or some of the rebounding and things that he can do. You know, I think any of the eight that we have that are currently healthy and playing. It would be hard to lose any of them just because we're short on bodies. But I think right now any of those two would be a big deal.
Yeah, looking at like which is worse, you know, losing those two. That's the ultimate game of would you rather? Like, would you rather lose Childs or would you rather lose Bryant? They're both terrible options. I don't want to do either of those things.
The season goes south if you lose either of them. But I think Bryant has been the better player and is the more valuable player today. Bryant, quite frankly, we talked about at the beginning of the year that we thought we'd see some improvements, but I have to say he's surpassed my expectations, Matt, for the year. Do you feel the same way? Did you see a season like this coming?
No, I did not.
I mean, you look at his freshman year at Elon, right? And you look at, you know, he had a little bit more points than he had last year with us, but that was a very different team he played on. You know, I thought he would be better. I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming at all. I mean, this is way better. This is substantially better than I thought. So, anyway, I mean, what's he averaging now? What's the per game? 17 points, 5 rebounds. I mean, 6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals. I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
The year he's having, and a lot of improvement over last year. So, speaking of expectations, on Twitter, CougarFan, that's at CougarFan82, says this: first time in a long time where my expectations for a BYU team have been far exceeded. When is the last time this has happened in football or basketball? Is this why the season is so enjoyable? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in, hashtag Santa's got a brand new bag. Matt, I started after reading this question from Cougar Fan, I don't know when the last time a team really exceeded my expectations, either on the basketball or football team. I'm not sure.
That's a really good question. I don't know. And you look back and there's a recency bias here, right?
But right. Yeah.
I can't think of an example. My only caution is it's still early, guys.
Yeah, but even if
you're talking about their performance, well, if you think about their performance in that individual game, maybe a couple different games this season, but especially Saturday night, I did not see that type of domination coming.
No, I mean, they owned it from whistle to whistle, right? I mean, it's not that they blew them out, but they were in control. And I did not believe they would be 9-2 at this point. I thought we'd be more like 7-4. You know, we talked about that at the beginning of the season. And we were both like 8-3, 7-4 at this point. Now, they're going to – we're not going to preview these games, but – They're gonna get two more wins here this week against Idaho State and Texas Southern, neither of whom are very good teams, and they're both in the Marriott Center. And then it's conference play, starting with Portland and St. Mary's. So, you know, we'll get to see against that St. Mary's game another test, right?
Yep.
Of just who this team is, and I think at the Marriott Center, I think that's our game. I think we should win that. So that expectation has changed. I would not have said that at the beginning of the year. I did not say that at the beginning of the year. So, you know, that's where we're at, Matt. Any other comments on the basketball team before we move on to football?
No, I'm good. I don't know if actually, football is a little bit exciting right now. So I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm mentally prepared to talk about football now.
So last week we predicted this correctly, that there would be a new offensive coordinator. The rumors started to come out shortly after we recorded about Jeff Grimes. You texted me about some report you had seen in Louisiana, because of course you live there, and LSU football is kind of important there. And Jeff Grimes was a name
kind of important
that had come up a little bit, but not one that we had spent a ton of time on. His name had been on the list because of his, you know, prior coaching at BYU, Matt. So were you surprised? Describe your reaction. Was it surprised? Was it cool? Was it, you know, obviously both of us knew who he was. I saw some people, especially Ute fans, saying, Jeff, who? And it's kind of like, who were your last couple of offensive coordinators? So, but Matt, were you surprised?
No, not surprised at all. But the only element of it that it was surprising is that it did seem like his name had come off of some of the lists that at least, you know, the fans and the Cougar Borders and the like were talking about, right? If you look back at kind of where we spent most of our conversation last week, I don't know if people were getting word or getting a feeling that that Grimes was not on the final list with the administration, or if it was just more fun to talk through some of the options that were a little geographically closer to home and fans had a little bit more information on, or maybe even felt like we're a little bit more likely. But this guy was always on the list. Players obviously have liked him, has a relationship with a lot of people in the program right now. And when you think about, you and I have talked, not really at length, but we had a long discussion a few weeks ago about what is this job, right? What is the BYU offensive coordinator job? And if you put it in context of and just get a little bit realistic about who we are as a program, this is really what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who's had some exposure running parts of an offense, who's ready to make a jump at some big programs, who's ready to make the jump to a coordinator position, who will likely be here for a few years and then go somewhere else. I mean, that's what this is for him. This is a developmental opportunity. He's going to come to BYU, be the offensive coordinator. He's going to hope that he can have some real success in maybe 2-3 years. And then get an opportunity to go somewhere else, and then we recycle that. Or, you know, you get somebody inside the program who's kind of getting tutored by him. But this is who we are as a program. This is the right type of hire. This is the type of guy we should be looking for and be excited about.
Yeah, and this is not – I saw some people's like, great, another person without play calling experience. Number one, he did actually was a high school offensive coordinator way back in the day. So,
well, and he has called some plays. I mean, if you read about some of his experience, he's in situations where, you know, they know they're going to run the ball, and they'll ask him, okay, what are we going to run here?
Right, right.
I mean, he's involved in play calling.
Yes, but my point is, I think people are misunderstanding what some of Detmer's deficiencies were. Right, it's not just that he had never. That he had never called plays at the collegiate level. It's that he had never coached at the collegiate level, right? And Grimes has, you know, 20 years of coaching experience at the college level, right? So, to me, I think sometimes people, it's like a false equivalency between, you know, they're picking on the wrong things. Every offensive coordinator BYU has had did not have called a lot of plays before they were our offensive coordinator. You pointed this out, but it bears repeating. That's the type of program we are. We are not going to get a Power 5 offensive coordinator who comes and runs our offense.
No, you're getting an FCS offensive coordinator, or you're going to get a position coach or assistant coordinator, I'm putting air quotes around that, to come in and take this job. That's who we are, guys.
And that's the profile you and I said from the beginning. It will come from either the FCS ranks as a head coach or an offensive coordinator, or it will come from a Power 5 team. Because another G5 team, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense unless you're a much lesser G5 team as an offensive coordinator, right? You know, from a prestige standpoint, right, to move up. But you're not going to get somebody from, you know, one of the other better, you know, FBS non-Power 5 schools, right? That's not the likely scenario unless they're an LDS person that is just dying to coach at BYU.
Right.
But none of those, there were none of those people, right? So it was going to be one of these profiles that we just talked about, and Grimes fits that, and he's coached at BYU before. So you don't have that concern of, you know, will he really understand what it's like to recruit and coach for BYU?
Well, and I, you know, coming back to the point you were making a second ago, if you can choose somebody like Grimes, or you're going to take, let's just say you take the offensive coordinator from, let's say FIU has a really good year or two, and that offensive coordinator is looking to make a jump, right? If you could take that guy, or you take a guy like Grimes, who's been places like Auburn and LSU, helping run offenses, and you know, and involved in that portion of it. I think you take the guy who's been around the big programs.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't see. And the other part is, I think there's also probably some non play calling things that Satake was looking for. If we believe there is a cultural issue and maybe a discipline issue with the program, you may have also been looking for somebody who has as one of their trademarks discipline.
Well, and I think also, and that's absolutely true. And I think you need to send that message. I think it sends message to the players. I think the other thing is, if you've also got to think about, you're going into these kids' houses right now, trying to convince these kids to come play football for you. And now you've got a guy, you've had this historically bad offensive season. Now you're going to bring a guy in, you know, who can talk to you about, you know, sending people to the pros, can talk to you about developing players at these big programs and having some success with it. You know, and I think the credibility you get there is also a big deal. And the way that relates to the discipline is, I think it's a lot easier to instill that type of a work ethic or culture in a place where it may be needed when you walk in with that type of experience under your belt and that type of credibility in the eyes of the players.
So Gary Payne, in his second question, asks us insights on Grimes. I think we've talked about that. What style are we looking at? I'm going to get to that here in a second. Let's do this question first. And we got it both from Gary and from Alan Seawright. That's at Alan Seawright on Twitter, which is basically 3.5 years, he says, is the over-under on Grimes' time, and that's what Gary says. And then Alan asks us, if Grimes is successful and leaves in 3 to 4 years, is this the new normal, 3 to 4 years of up-and-comer offensive coordinator talent? You kind of hinted at that, Matt, and Alan says he's fine with it. So, Matt, let's go to Gary's first. 3.5 years over-under for Jeff Grimes as the offensive coordinator at BYU. Under.
I'm taking the under.
I think if he's successful, we're looking at 3 years. I think 3 years is the right number. Maybe two.
I believe he will be successful, and I'm going to go ahead and say at the end of the third year is when he's going to get an opportunity.
And I think that's an offensive coordinator somewhere, or it's a head coaching job?
I think it could go either way. I mean, if he's going to go back into a P5 school, it might be a coordinator job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it depends on how well this goes, but a head coaching job somewhere else?
Yeah,
head coaching job. Definitely in the cards.
At another... you know, second-tier FBS school.
And, I mean, yeah. This is a guy who's been around a bunch of programs, knows a lot of coaches, and so when people get out on their searches, if he's having some success at BYU, he's gonna bubble up to the top of lists pretty quick.
So Gary also asked, what style are we looking at? Matt, I think Mr. Grimes answered that in his press conference on Saturday.
Yeah, now, do people really call him grimy? They call him Grimy, right?
I believe he referenced it himself.
Yes. I think he said it himself at one point.
I think you're right. Matt, he was pretty clear. He doesn't have a style.
Yeah, I loved that. I love that part.
He did not use pro style. He did not use spread. He didn't say any of those buzzwords. He said, and I'm not quoting him exactly. I was trying to pull it up, but you look at the players you have and you call plays and design plays that maximize their abilities.
Yep.
And I think we will see, and if you look at LSU last year, if you look at some of the Auburn teams he worked with, they had a lot of different packages. They lined up under center. They did shotgun. And over time, it also changed. And, you know, we give credit to Ty Detmer. He did some of that last year, right? He took them back off of the line of scrimmage. I mean, basically, didn't Grimy? Can I call him that?
I think that's what we're supposed to be calling.
Didn't he say all the right things? I know that doesn't count for anything today, but didn't he say everything right?
He hit all the right notes.
Yeah. So I'm. I
Which
know
is a
lot
really
of-
that's a really good sign, guys. I mean, this is a guy who knows what his way around. He knows how to set the expectations. He anticipated all of those questions. I mean, this is a guy who he knows what he's doing, and the learning curve for him is going to be much different and this isn't a negative comment about Detmer, but the learning curve for somebody like Grimes coming into a job like this is going to be way different. Way different.
Oh, totally different. And you know, there has been, I think, some sentiment that Detmer was not put in the best position to succeed. Maybe that's by Homo, maybe that's Satake, maybe that the discipline around the whole program was lacking and that hurt Detmer. And those things may be true. But I think this hire changes the entire, the entire feel of that team if you base it on former players of his, both at BYU and beyond, who basically he is a player's coach, but not in the I'm your buddy, you know, type of thing. It's like because he pushed you to be your best type of thing, right? And I think that's good. And we need a mean offensive line. We should have had a better offensive line last year. We had the talent, and that's one of my biggest disappointments with BYU's offense last year. And that's not all on Detmer, right? Because he doesn't coach the offensive line. I don't think a Jeff Grimes coached team will have an offensive line that played like ours did last year.
Well, and he's got a ton of experience dealing with decimated lines, either by injury or other means, and having success with them and taking guys, you know, who weren't maybe freshmen or weren't expecting to play a lot and getting them ready to play and step up when they need to.
Yeah.
And so developing that depth at the offensive line is something we've really struggled with.
Yep.
So that alone I'm excited about with Grimey.
So Clark on Twitter, that's at Chris Clark US, and Joel Everett on Facebook asked us basically the same question. What does it realistically look like for the offensive staff? What do we think it's going to look like? Matt, I don't really know. I think there's going to be a combination of some people will stay and some people will be gone. It's a total cop-out answer, but if we're talking about ideal, I want people that work well with him and instill a greater sense of discipline in this team.
That's and I
not
want
names, it, but
right. And I want ideally you want him to have complete latitude.
Yes.
Like let him get his own groceries.
Yep.
So and then hold him accountable for the results. And I don't know that that's been what's going on the last couple of years, but I think you've got to put him in a position to put his staff together. And let me ask you this question. If you're Grimes, do you keep Detmer on the staff?
No, Detmer's gone.
Yeah, I don't either.
I
feel like it's an unfair position to put the new offensive coordinator in.
But
like
here's
you're
the thing.
Basically you're going to bring this guy in and say, "We're not going to fire him. You have to you need to do it, new offensive coordinator. You're going to have to fire our Heisman Trophy winning quarterback
Legend.
Who's come back to who we finally coaxed out of Texas to come up here and coach. You're the one who's going to have to fire him and send him home in disgrace."
And we've talked about this before, if there's somebody who's humble enough to take this and just become a quarterback coach and learn under Grimes, it's probably Detmer, right? Like, there's a lot of other people that they should have just, you know, fired straight out, right? Like, but I think, here's the thing, and this was a problem with Detmer too. Grimes will have a lot of coaches, and because he coached a few years at BYU, some of them are going to be LDS just because that he crossed those paths, who he is going to want to hire. Detmer didn't have that network, right? So people have said, well, he didn't get to bring in his own groceries. He didn't have groceries to bring, right? Like, he hadn't, like you talked about Grimes being plugged into that network of coaches, right? And he's served under a bunch of different coaches, but he's also served with a bunch of different staffs, right? And people.
Right.
That he may say so-and-so would be really good. But that being said, I'm guessing he's going to sit down with all the people on the current staff and decide who fits with what he wants to do and who doesn't, right? And if he sits there with Reno Mahe, and I'm just picking a name, and says, you know what, this guy fits in my what I want to do, I think he'll keep him because it's easier, right, than going out and finding somebody new if you can find it. But I think based on what he said on Saturday, if they don't fit, he's going to go get somebody else. I mean, you know, that's what I think. Jacob on Twitter, that's at 64_Jacob, says, will the BYU offense perform better under Grimes? Yes.
Yeah, that's an easy question.
The answer is yes, Jacob. They will be better because we were nearly the worst offense in college football. We can't get worse.
Yeah, just on pure odds alone.
Yes. Now, will they be really good? I don't know. I would like to think so, and I would bet on it. But obviously, you know, they have actually got to put things together for that to work.
Oh, I'm full steam ahead on the hype train on Grimes right now.
I know you are.
And I've tried very hard to be level-headed as we've talked through this the past few minutes.
Yes.
But I think we're going to see a difference from the first snap of the first game next fall.
And by the way, Jacob and Alan both had hashtag climb on in, just so that nobody's calling me dishonest. Okay.
I appreciate your honesty.
Adam a liar.
Your honesty there. I appreciate your willingness to just go ahead and climb on in.
That's right. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm sure there'll be lots more to talk about. By that point, I would guess that after the new year, Grimes may have his staff assembled. And we were going to talk about recruiting. Let's talk about recruiting next time. We've lost some guys.
Yeah, after we've got signing day and all that.
But let's wait for some of this stuff to get closer and whatever else. So, Matt, let's talk bowl games.
Bowl games.
He just win his bowl game?
The Fighting Lane Kiffins?
Yeah, 50-3.
The Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Cherry Bowl.
So when does a Power 5 team hire him? He's got to do it one
he
more
just
year,
signed,
right?
Do you know what he signed today? They haven't signed it, but do you know what they finalized today? Florida Atlantic?
What?
A 10-year deal for Kiffin.
Yeah, whatever. There's always
but
a buyout.
But we don't know what the buyout. Nobody knows. The terms of the buyout, I don't think have been set. That's the report.
I mean, he's not staying at Florida Atlantic for 10 years.
I don't know. I saw an interview with him the other day. He looked like a changed man. He's like, I'm happy here.
Stop it. He's Lane Kiffin. He's going someplace else.
Kiffin. He scored a touchdown. He was up 43-3, and they still put a touchdown down. In like the last minute of the game.
Of course it is.
And the announcers are like, instead of doing the whole like, oh, he's running up the score, what a jerk. The announcers at the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Cherry Bowl. The announcers on that game on ESPN were saying things like, well, look at that. This is Lane Kiffin instilling a work ethic in these guys. Don't take your foot off the gas. You know, you got to play to the end. These guys want to play to the end.
Yeah,
it's so funny to me how that's different, you know, depending on who the coach is. And
you
whatever.
And I have talked about this before. I don't have any problems with running up the score. You don't want the score to be run up on. You stop them.
Play some defense. But you know what he said after the game, why they kept – I think the reason they kept doing it is the players wanted to prove a point, and those seniors wanted to prove a point that's how good they were.
Yep, and that's fine.
And you know what?
More power to you.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
If you're Akron, like – play some defense.
All right. So on Friday, we did through the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl in our last show. So we're starting with the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, I think there's medicine you can take for that.
There's several topical ointments, different things.
Oh, you made my bad joke worse. You're good at that. You're good for that at least once a night.
Once a night. Matt, the Bahamas Bowl, that's 8-4 University of Alabama, Birmingham, and 8-4 Ohio out of the Conference USA and the MAC, respectively. Matt, the line on that one is who cares? Ohio by 7.5. Who you got?
I'm going with the Blazers just because it's a good story. There's a school that tried to get rid of their program, and at a school like UAB, the alumni and players stepped in and made that thing come back. They willed that football team back into existence.
And they're in a bowl game. I'm picking them too.
It's University of Alabama, Birmingham. Like, the fact that they could pull that off is pretty amazing. So go Blazers.
Go Blazers. Matt, percent chance you will see any of that game on Friday?
Friday at 12:30. I'm going to go ahead and give you 100%.
100%. I will be close to that as well. Later that day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise.
I prefer calling this the infamous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Infamous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Infamous is more than famous.
That's 8-4 Central Michigan Chippewas. How am I supposed to give out something straight after you quote the Three Amigos?
You can't. You can't.
The 8-4.
The game featuring the Invisible Swordsman.
That's right. That's right. You just shot the Invisible Swordsman.
How was I supposed to know? He's invisible.
8-4 Central Michigan, 7-5 Wyoming. Matt, Wyoming is favored by 3 in this game. Go Chippewas!
I don't understand the Wyoming love. This quarterback, what's his face? Everybody was all excited about him at the beginning of the season because we've got to pick one quarterback from a G, whatever it is, school. Every year they got to pick one of these quarterbacks that, you know, this is going to be the guy who's going to break the ceiling, who's going to do this or whatever. And for whatever reason, somebody fell in love with this guy out of Wyoming and went 7-5 out of the Mountain West. Not very good. I still think they're overrated. I don't understand why they're a 3-point favorite here. You shouldn't get the home team push here. The game's in Boise.
You're revved up.
I'm taking the Chippewas.
I'm taking the Chippewas just because I don't like the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are weirdly overrated this year. It's very strange.
Very strange. December 23rd, Matt, Birmingham Bowl, 6-6, Texas Tech, 9-2, South Florida. Let's see. The line on that one is South Florida by 2.5. I got the Bulls, Matt.
Oh, I got the Bulls hard in this one. The Bulls crushed that 2.5.
Percent chance that you watch any of that game on Saturday.
Noon on Saturday.
Not a good chance for me seeing any of that one.
That's kind of unpredictable for me now.
Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl out of Fort Worth, Texas later that afternoon. 9-3 Army, who will not pass the ball, versus 10-2 San Diego State, who will just, I hate them. So I don't have anything more intelligent to say. San Diego State is favored by 6.5. I am, of course, picking Army.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make the non-emotional pick here because that is the only reason you're picking Army. I think Army's going to have a hard time putting up enough points against San Diego State to come out with a win on this game.
What? You're ridiculous. Not only are you pro-San Diego State, you also hate our armed forces? Gosh.
I feel like you're taking what I said out of context.
I don't think I am. It seems a little bit
out of control.
The nightcap is the Dollar General Bowl at a Mobile, Alabama.
This is the poor man's Family Dollar Bowl.
That's right. That's right. Everything's 50 cents. Toledo is 11-2. Appalachian State, or is it Appalachian? Appalachian, 8-4 out of the Sun Belt. The line on that one is Toledo by 7.5. I've got Toledo, Matt.
Yeah, I've got Toledo. Appalachian State, this is a team that lost to UMass, University of Louisiana, Monroe.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
Wake Forest and Georgia. Now, Wake Forest and Georgia, I might be able to get behind those. Wake Forest was close, and Georgia's pretty good.
Georgia's sorry.
But you can't lose to UMass and give up 52 points to ULM.
Are you providing actual analysis?
And make me think you're going to beat Toledo.
This is actual analysis.
I know we're really not supposed to do that on this.
Yeah,
you're
sorry. Really kind of stretching it here, buddy.
I apologize, everybody. I'm sorry. It's just that Toledo really only lost to Miami and Ohio this year.
Actually, Toledo's pretty good.
Put up 66 points in a game. I think that
7.5-point line is crazy. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. I'm actually agreeing with you.
That's silly.
So I will see. I will probably see some of that game. Would be my guess. Some of that game on the Dollar General Bowl on Christmas Eve. Here's a game that I always end up catching a little bit of. Typically after my wife has fallen asleep. The Hawaii Bowl, 9-4 Fresno State, 7-4 Houston Cougars. Matt, the line on that one is Houston by 2.5. I'm going to go – this is a tough one, and it's a good matchup. I think I'm going to go with Fresno.
Yeah, I know our brother Don is going to disagree with us here, but I'm with you. Fresno.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think that's one of the best matchups of the early bowls as far as, like, the teams should be very competitive with each other.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good matchup.
All right, the day
what
after –
what was the line on that again? You said it was 2.5?
2.5. 2.5.
Yeah, that sounds probably about right.
Day after Christmas, there's 3 bowl games. The first one is the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
That stuff is good.
In Dallas. That's the 7-5 West Virginia Mountaineers and the 6-6. I'm not sure what this team is. They're out of the Pac-12. Utah?
It's hard. Ever since the Pac-12 expanded, they've got some of those garbage teams in there.
Hard to keep track of them now.
I don't know who they are anymore.
Utah's favored. It opened at 4. I think it's up to like 6.5. I, of course, am doing the emotional pick. Go Mountaineers.
Well, that's not even an emotional pick. The Mountaineers only lost, with the exception of their loss to Texas, they've only lost to ranked teams this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have a hard time, you know, if you look at just the schedules or if you look at just the records and compare them, I've got a hard time telling you that I think Utah beats this team, you know. And now you could say the same thing is almost true about Utah, except for the fact that it's not, you know, with losses to ASU, Oregon, and Stanford. So I'm taking West Virginia here.
Yep. I'm with you, man. Quick Lane Bowl. In Detroit, Northern Illinois, 8-4 out of the MAC. Duke, 6-6 out of the ACC. The line on that one is Duke by 4.5 or 5, depending on where you look. Don't care about this game. Won't watch either of these games the day after Christmas, probably. I'm going to go with Duke.
Yeah, I'm going to take Duke. Coach K will have his team ready.
The nightcap. Yeah,
now I'm back refs, to what we normally do here.
The refs will give them every call. The Cactus Bowl in Phoenix, 7-5 Kansas State, 6-6 UCLA. It's the bowl game of very mediocre Power 5 teams. The line on that one is Kansas State by 2.5. Matt, jeez. I'm going to go with Kansas State.
I'm taking the Bruins.
And I will 100% chance that because of it being a night game, 100% chance I see this game.
Yeah, I'll see this game, but I'm taking the Bruins.
On the 27th, there's 4 games. The Walk-Ons Independence Bowl. I don't even
Walk-Ons,
know what that is.
Another great place. Walk-Ons is a chain of restaurants partially owned by Drew Brees.
Oh, there
the
you
sports
go.
Sports bar.
Okay. Oh, cool. I don't have those in Minnesota. 6-6 Florida State, the team that was supposed to be good, and 8-4 Southern Miss, a team that's not really good. Matt, the line is 16 for Florida State. I think Southern Miss covers, but Florida State wins. Don't care. Won't
Does anybody really win here? Anybody no. really win?
New Era Pinstripe Bowl, the worst bowl in America. Let's put a bowl in Yankee Stadium. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Don't understand it.
7-5 Iowa, 7-5 Boston College. I will probably see some of this game. I'm kind of actually interested in the matchup. Iowa is favored by 2.5. Matt, I'm a Big Ten homer. I'm going with the Hawkeyes.
I'm with you.
All right.
Go Hawkeyes.
The first night game is the Foster Farms Bowl in another terrible place for a bowl at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. But I'm interested in this one. Purdue's back in a bowl game, Matt. Woo-hoo!
Yes. Let's
6-6.
Play some football.
7-5 Arizona. Didn't they just hire a new coach?
I hate Arizona.
Or was that Arizona State?
Not the state. School.
Yeah. Arizona's favored by 3.5. I'm taking the Boilermakers.
I'm taking the Boilermakers by 10.
Oh, I'm taking the Boilermakers by 20.
Yeah, I'm taking by 21.
The nightcap game is the Academy Sports Plus Outdoors Texas Bowl.
I understand. Plus.
That has the Longhorns at 6-6 and the Missouri Tigers at 7-5. Two teams that might have should have been better. The line on that one, I'm not seeing one. I'm sure there is a line. There it is. Missouri by 3. I'm taking Missouri, but
hook 'em horns, baby.
And I'm sure I'll see some of that game. The 28th, another 4.
I think it's actually just called Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's the name of the store.
Plus Outdoors.
Yeah,
if they're going to put a plus, it's a plus. Put an ampersand, all right?
That's right.
An ampersand.
I come again?
Shut up, you're an idiot. All right, December 28th.
Apparently, I don't know what an ampersand is.
Just look it up. Use the
internet.
Yeah,
right? I've got time for that.
Yeah, that's right, you do.
I've got a time to know a fancy word for the and symbol.
That's right, you do. December 28th. The first game is the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. Is it Grumman?
Yeah, Northrop Grumman.
That's in Annapolis. 6-6 Virginia, led by a man you might have heard of, Bronco Mendenhall. And 6-6 Navy. led by another man.
This is like the battle of the coaches who got away. That's what we call it.
That's right. We talked about this before. Virginia was open with Virginia by 2. It's now got Navy by 1. Matt, I'm taking the midshipmen.
Well, I think the Navy are riding a high over their last win, right?
Yeah.
But I've got the Cavaliers in this one.
All right. Camping World Bowl in Orlando. That's number 19 in all of the land, Oklahoma State, and also ranked. This is the first bowl game with ranked teams. Number 22, Virginia Tech. Matt, 100% chance I see both of these games on the 28th. The line is Oklahoma State by 4. Matt, I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm taking the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Hokies.
I thought you would. The Valero.
ACC's strong, man. They're strong.
That's right. Valero Alamo Bowl, that's Stanford 9-4, TCU 10-3. Stanford is, as always, way overrated, and TCU is favored. I'm taking the Horned Frogs.
Man, that's the one you don't want to mess up. I'm also taking TCU. It pains me to say it.
Why?
I'm taking TCU.
Why? It pains you because you have to move your pants up? When you do it, when you pick the Horned Frogs, you got to pull your pants.
I still resent the Horned Frogs.
I know, you're bitter. I resent Stanford more. The nightcap is, actually both of them started at the same time, Valero in this one. The San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. Might have heard of this bowl game. We invented it.
Got a lot of words in it.
Jerk bags. Michigan State and Washington State. Two teams that were pretty good this year, Matt. This is one I'm excited to see. Are you excited to see this one? This one I'm excited to see. I think it'll be good.
I'll be even more excited if you promise me an interview with Mike Leach.
Oh my gosh, there'll be an.
If I get a halftime interview with Mike Leach, I am in. I am all in on this game.
His Cougars are favored by 2, but I'm taking the Spartans.
Oh, you're a crazy man. You're a crazy man.
You're going for Leach, huh?
I'm taking Leach.
All right,
I'm taking the crazy pirate.
December 29th, the Belk Bowl in North Carolina. That's Wake Forest 7-5, Texas A&M 7-5. After all those games I was excited about, this one I'm not. Wake Forest by 3. I am taking, I'm actually taking the Aggies in this one, and I won't probably watch any of this game.
I do not understand the line on this game. Aggies, and I think the timing's going to be bad for me to watch.
Yeah, I don't think I'll end up watching any of that. Hyundai Sun Bowl in El Paso, 7-5, Arizona State. They're the ones with the new coach. 8-4, North Carolina State. The line on this one is North Carolina State by 6.5. I think we get a cover on this one, but I still think North Carolina State wins.
Yeah, Wolfpack takes this one.
Franklin America Mortgage Music City Bowl.
Jeez, these are just getting out of control.
Terrible. 9-3 Northwestern out of the Big Ten, 7-5 Kentucky out of, just plenty of SEC speed. Northwestern is favored by 7.5. I'm taking the Wildcats.
Yeah, Wildcats. They're both the Wildcats.
See if you're going to get it.
I said that. I was like, yeah, Wildcats. And then I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if we just agreed or disagreed.
I've been waiting for this as I was looking through it before when you were talking, because I never paid attention when you're talking.
Hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, I took the hook, line, and sinker. Really, I walked right into it.
I didn't know if to do it for this one or the next one.
The next one's a good one. But just to be clear, I'm picking Northwestern in this Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
You got to warm up before you say the name of that thing.
That's right, you do. And the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. All right.
6-6 New Mexico State, 6-6 Utah State. Who cares? No winners.
This is really a thing on December 29th?
Yeah, that
on December 29th, for real, we've got the Belk Bowl and this Nova Homes Loans.
Yeah, I'm not watching either of those.
That is like, quite try frankly, saying the name. Try saying Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl like 5 times fast. It's going to be like toy boat. You're never going to get through it. But who cares about these two games on December 29th? Why are these games being played this late in the bowl season? That's insane.
December 29th may be a chip that I turn in where I don't watch any football that day. because none of these games excite me that much. Like the day before, yeah,
that's some important relationship capital that you could build up.
The day before, like you've got that, you know, the Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, Stanford, TCU, Michigan State, Washington State. Heck, even the earlier game with Virginia and Navy, if I'm not busy, I might watch, right? None of the December 29th games are interesting.
How we end up with the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl.
Well, the 30th gets a little better. There's the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville, 8-4 Louisville,
and
8-4 Mississippi State. I mean, you get to see Jackson play in probably his last game. The Louisville's favored by 6.5. I actually think Mississippi State wins, though. So I think they've got the line off.
Go Cards.
AutoZone Liberty Bowl, that's 7-5 Iowa State and 10-2 Memphis. What's the line on that one? The line on that one is 3.5 for Memphis. I've got Iowa State. Cyclones.
Oh, I got Memphis. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm just picking people. I don't know. I'm just picking people. And I'll end up watching some of those games because that leads into, Matt, the – oh, by the way, on the 29th, I missed the one game you watch on the 29th is the Cotton Bowl in the night. I just skipped over it by mistake. 11-2 USC, 11-2 Ohio State. That's the only game I watched that day. And by the way, Ohio State is favored by 7.5. That's crazy. Go Trojans.
Are you kidding me? You're really picking USC over Ohio State?
I hate Ohio State. These are all emotional picks. This isn't real.
I'm taking the Buckeyes.
What?
I'm totally unemotional about this.
Yeah, well, that's dumb. It's fun to be emotional. Then back to
the 30th. I'm going to write that down. Everybody remember that what Adam just said. It's fun to be emotional. Hey, all right, I'm going to write that down. With that, here we go. That's our hashtag. If you made it all the way to the end of this bowl preview, you're getting the hashtag, it's fun to be emotional.
All right, hashtag, it's fun to be emotional. In the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, that's 10-2 Washington, 10-2 Penn State, two teams that, quite frankly, I thought might be playing for the title, Matt, but unfortunately for them, their seasons did not break that way. Penn State is favored by 2. I'm taking Washington in that one, but I think it's going to be a highly entertaining game.
You've gone from being a Big Ten homer to hating the Big Ten.
I don't hate the Big Ten. I don't actually hate Penn State.
I think Penn State wins this game because that's a team that understands that it's fun to be emotional.
That's right, they do. Capital One Orange Bowl that night, 10-2 Miami, 12-1 Wisconsin. I got the Badgers.
I've also got the Badgers. I think they win this one with emotion.
Yeah, and quite frankly,
it's fun to be emotional.
The wheels seem to be coming off of Miami, so and I think Wisconsin will bounce back from their disappointing Big Ten championship.
And it's fun to hate the Canes. Just fun.
That is true. New Year's Day, Matt, is going to be awesome again.
New Year's Day
is going to be awesome. Starts out with the Outback Bowl. That's 8-4 Michigan, 8-4 South Carolina. That one should be interesting, but I think Michigan wins this. They're favored by 8, and I think they cover. So, yeah. I think that's what happens. Citrus Bowl, presented by Overton's. That's 9-3 LSU, who Jeff Grimes will be coaching in that game, and 9-3 Notre Dame, or whatever you want to call them. LSU's favored by 3. I got the Tigers.
I'm also got the Tigers. That doesn't make any sense, but you understand what I'm saying.
I did. Then we got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the I Wish I Was In the College Football Playoff Peach Bowl. That's undefeated University of Central Florida without – Frost isn't coaching that game, is he?
I don't know the answer to that.
I thought he was.
Maybe I thought that he was.
10-3 Auburn, UCF is the other team, of course. Auburn is favored by 9.5. I think it might be closer than that, but I'm going with the Tigers.
I'm also taking the Tigers because if there were two teams going into the playoff, Auburn from the SEC, Auburn should have been the other one.
But let me say this. Let me say this. If UCF beats Auburn, that's their argument that they should have been in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
That's their statement. Like, We just beat probably one of the best five teams in the country, and we're probably one of the best five teams in the country. That's your statement, guys. And you might as well make it now, because after Frost leaves, it might be a while.
You may not get another run at this.
They might. I don't need to disparage them. All right, so then it's the college football playoff, right where it should be, at night on January 1. Just where it should be. The only time it should ever be played. Let me be clear. Rose Bowl, presented by Northwestern Mutual. 12-1, Georgia. 12-1, Oklahoma. Of course, if you look at that, Matt, Georgia is favored by 1.5. It's basically a pick 'em. Who you picking?
That's silly. That spread is silly. We've all lost our minds.
Why? You really
Georgia? Georgia wins this game by 10 points.
No, I think Georgia wins, but I think it's close. I think Baker Mayfield's the real deal, dude.
I'm not saying he's not, but that Georgia team is really good.
They are,
quite good at football. Think they're coming in here strangely underrated.
Yes, I think that's fair. That's fair.
I don't know why they're the number three team. I think you still end up with Georgia and Oklahoma playing each other, but I'd have Georgia as 2 and Oklahoma as 3 probably.
Yeah.
If I was forced to take these four teams.
Yes, if I was forced to take these four teams. Later that night, we'll have the All-State Sugar Bowl, which of course is 11-1 Alabama, who shouldn't be in the playoff, as we have discussed before, and 12-1 Clemson, who should be in the playoff. Alabama is favored by 3. Everyone's lost their freaking mind.
This is insane.
Clemson is going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Yes, they're going to destroy Alabama. Alabama's going to be embarrassed.
Yes, I think this is one of the worst losses on a big stage that Saban will have suffered since he came back to college football. It'll be like he's coaching the Dolphins again.
But do you know what is the worst part about this, in my opinion?
What's that?
Is let's just say we're wrong.
Okay.
And Alabama wins.
Yes.
Right?
Then they get a shot at Georgia.
Which is silly.
Yes, I totally agree. I really think next year they have got to mandate to the committee that you have to really heavily weight conference championships. Like I just think Ohio State deserves to be in there more than Alabama. I just do.
It's not even about, to me, it's not even a deserve thing. Like, well, no, okay, no, maybe it is. It is a deserve thing, right? If I look at Ohio State's schedule, even with that loss, you go down Alabama's schedule, I'm not impressed.
No,
the only games in there that really blow you away, right? You got the win against LSU, the win against Mississippi State. You know, maybe you count that win against Florida State at the beginning of the season, but I don't even know if I care about that. You know, there's nothing else on here, and they lost to Auburn. I don't understand it. If you just showed me that schedule and didn't tell me who the teams were, and you just showed everybody the schedules, yes. Alabama's not in.
No, they're not. They're not. If it was picked blind, quite frankly, USC's probably, or if you're going to take a one loss, I wouldn't have a problem if UCF was above them, right? Like, I could see an argument for USC, Ohio State, UCF. Again, Wisconsin probably not. They have the same problem.
I think Wisconsin kind of has, right?
They have a loss. Now, their loss happens to, you know, be in a conference championship game, but they have a loss. So Clemson and Alabama, I mean, to me is like 6 or 7, right? Like they would make an 8-team playoff, but to me, they don't belong in a 4-team playoff.
Nope.
All right. So Matt, we both think it's Clemson and Georgia. Who wins the national championship?
Sounds Clemson. Like
you are going Clemson.
I'm going to go Clemson.
I'm going Georgia. But I think that I'm hoping that's the game, and I think it'll be a terrific national championship
game. That would be
an
awesome game. An awesome game.
We can hope. We can hope, Matt. Matt, this has been a very long podcast.
Yeah, sometimes we just like to go the distance.
Yes, we do. Well, thanks everybody for joining. If you like this podcast, you can find this and another great show that I also host at DeseretNews.com/podcast. We just released an episode on Harry Potter books versus movies. Matt, you could learn something. Big spoilers, though. You'll actually, it wouldn't be spoilers for you. It'd just be a bunch of nonsense words you don't understand.
I don't understand anything you just said.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Go to iTunes, give us a rating if you like the show. Tell us why you like it. If you don't like the show, just stop listening and forget what I just said about iTunes.
Listen, we all know that if you've got criticism, that should be done in private and praise should be offered openly.
That's right. That's right. And quite frankly, if you hate this show and we're an hour and 20 minutes into it, not quite, and you're still listening,
you don't hate it enough. You don't hate it enough.
I don't think you hate it. Well, anybody, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. We are off next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks after all the bowls are done to talk BYU basketball, to preview the college football playoff national championship game, and I'm sure we'll have lots of other stuff to talk about. Thanks again, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!